What gifts have you received? What talents have you received? Today's parable speaks about the gifts that we have received, the talents that we have received, the graces of God that each and every one of us have received, and it speaks to what we have done or not done with the gifts of God. Today we have in this parable three servants. Three servants to whom the master has given gifts or talents according to their abilities. Now, a talent in the ancient world was a unit of measurement, specifically a unit of measurement of weight. Now, it varied from society to society. The Greeks had a certain figure, and the Romans had a different figure, and the Babylonians had a different figure still. But in Israel, in New Testament times, one talent was equal to 58.9 kilograms of weight. That's about 130 pounds. 130 pounds equals one talent. Last Friday, gold closed at $1,788 an ounce. With 16 ounces to the pound and 130 pounds to the talent, one talent of gold at Friday's exchange rate would be equal to $3,721,120. Not a little bit of money, is it? That's quite a tidy sum. I mean, it wouldn't pay off the national debt, but it'd pay off my debt, wouldn't it? Yours? The first servant got five talents, or $18,605,600. The second servant, who only got two talents, $7,442,240. And the third servant, whom, you know, we feel sorry for, he only gets that one little talent, 130 pounds of gold at $3,721,120. I wish that was my problem, wasn't it? Wish it was yours? I only got one talent. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. So often we depict this as the guy got one talent. He was afraid of losing it. It might slip out his pocket. 130 pounds worth? I don't think so. This was not an inconsequential amount of money. It was quite a lot of financial resource, be it gold or silver or whatever the commodity was. 130 pounds is a great deal of it. Okay. Now, translations are slippery things. Slip up with one word or one grammatical construction and you change the whole meaning of the phrase. And that can be a problem here today in our reading. The NRSV renders the following as, "The one who had received the five talents went off at once and traded with them and made five more talents." In other words, he took the $18,605,000 and he made another $18,605,000. He doubled it. Now, essentially, the rendering is correct, but it's not quite complete. A slightly better reading of the Greek here would be as follows. "The one who had received five talents at once went to work with them and made five more talents." At once went to work with them and made five more. Likewise, the one who received two talents at once went to work with them
and made two more. You get the idea? It wasn't just that they got the money. It's that they got the money, they got the talents, and they put them to work immediately, at once, without delay. They didn't sit back and read the stock market. They didn't do some research. They didn't debate and argue as to how to go about it. They went out and bought low and sold high and made good solid investments and made an awful lot of money. They doubled the amount they had. They went out and invested these talents, the five talents and the two talents, and they doubled what the master had entrusted them with. That takes some pretty good buying cheap and selling high, doesn't it? It takes some really good investments to double the value. But that's what they did. They didn't sit around and wait. They did it immediately. They went to work immediately. What did the third servant, the one who got just the single talent, do? He went and buried it. He went and dug a hole and put the talent, the 130 pounds of whatever it was, there and covered it up. He didn't go immediately to work with it. He hid it. He buried it and did nothing with it. He took what he had received and stuck it in a hole in the ground. He took what he had received, put it in a hole in the ground, and then sat down, turned on the television, drank his beer, and enjoyed himself. Meanwhile, the first and the second servant, the one with the five and the one with the two, they're out working. They're out making money. They're out buying and selling and trading and investing and making money with the master's money. They're taking what had been given them. They're taking the gifts, the talents they had received, the money they had received to invest, and they took it and they put it to work and they made more with it. Meanwhile, third servant is sitting over there on the couch doing nothing. This kind of puts into perspective then what happens when the master comes back. Five talent servant, doubled the money. Good and faithful servant, enter into the master's joy. Two talent servant, doubled the money. Good and faithful servant, enter into the master's joy. Third servant comes, and what does he do? He whines. He whines. He says, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." That's a cop-out, friends. That's a whiny complaint. "I was afraid, so I hid it so that you'd have what you had given to me." Whine, whine, whine. Let's look at the master's reply. "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. If all I was going to do was have you dig a hole and put the money in the ground and cover it up, I could have done it myself. You should have at least invested it with the money lenders and received interest for it. If you didn't want to work, then invest it and let them work with it. I could have put it in a hole in the ground, but I gave it to you to work with it." Ooh. Notice the wording. The wording is not accidental. It's on purpose. "You wicked and lazy slave." The word "lazy" here is rendered perfectly. The word contains connotations of being annoying at whining, bothersome because they complain, lacking in ambition or zeal, shrinking from duty, unwilling to get off the backside and do something. Lazy gets the idea across. Given the money and 130 pounds of gold or silver or whatever it was, it's not an inconsequential amount of money. Given the 130 pounds, given the talent, he should have invested it. Instead, he stuck it in a hole in the ground so he wouldn't have to work. You lazy, you wicked. That word "wicked" means untrustworthy and lying slave. You didn't do what you're supposed to do, and you're lying about why you didn't do it. It's not because you're afraid of losing it, because you're not about to lose that much. You're afraid of doing the work. The first two servants were blessed because they had gone to work as the master had called them to, as the master expected them to. They went to work with the gifts that the master had given them, and they had doubled, multiplied the gifts. And therefore they entered into the master's joy. The third servant was cursed because he refused to work. He refused to act. He refused to do what the master called him to do. Now, what gifts have you been given? What gifts have we as a congregation, what gifts have we been given? What spiritual gifts have we received? We received forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he broke down the barrier that our sins had dug. He bridged it. And we could cross over and be in the presence of Almighty God without fear. He gives to us life eternal, forgiveness, sanctification. He gives to us the strength we need to see it from day to day, to live this life from one day to the next. He is with us, enriching us. Worth far more than $18 million, the gifts that we have received of God's love and God's presence can't be wasted by digging a hole in the ground and shoveling it in there and burying it up and then sitting down and doing nothing for God. And yet so many Christians do exactly that. Couch potatoes or pew potatoes or chair potatoes for Jesus, do nothing but bake. And yet we all are guilty. Now in the story, it's an all or nothing proposition. You got the 5-talent servant, you got the 2-talent servant. They both did good. The 1-talent servant didn't, and he gets in trouble. In reality, it's usually shades of gray. We've been given 5 talents and we have only used 3 of them and we buried 2. Or we only used 1 of them and we buried 4. That's real life, friends. God has granted us talents, gifts, and graces beyond our imagination. And we usually take at least some of them and bury them. I know I like to read, and I know I'm a pretty good reader, but I don't want to read scripture on Sunday morning. I know I like to sing. I can carry a tune in a bucket. The people in front of me in the pew tell me so, but I'm afraid of the commitment needed to sing in the choir. Can I get an amen, David?
Amen.
I know that God has given me these financial resources. This money, this inheritance, this ability to work and to earn. But I'm afraid that if I commit a little too much of it, then I might not have enough.
So I'll bury it rather than commit it. We have each received talents, gifts, graces, strengths, abilities, worth far more than 5 talents, $18 million, worth far more than the 10 talents. But the first servant, the 5-talent servant, ended up earning total. We've been given so much. And yet in response, so often, we dig a metaphorical hole and we bury it and refuse to put it to work. Oh, look, Greg, you don't understand. I've only been given 1 talent. So-and-so over there has 5 talents. Let them do the work. I'm just going to sit here and hoard mine. I might need it later. God has called all of us to take what we have received and immediately put it to work for the glory of the kingdom. God has called us to take what we have received, what has been entrusted to us, the talents that we have received, and put it to work for the kingdom of God. To trust God enough to take the risk and step out in faith and place the gifts and graces into action. What are we going to do? As we come to the close of the church year, and we look at Advent beginning in just a couple of weeks, I want us to think about beginning again as a congregation and as a people of God and as individuals of faith. I want us to think about beginning again in commitment. Committing ourselves not to burying the talents, but to putting them into action. This hit me on the cruise as I was sitting out on deck looking at the beautiful sky. I was sitting there thinking about all the things that I've been asked to do in my ministry by bishops and district superintendents and administrators of the church, in which I have said no. Oh, I can't accept that committee. It would mean driving to Wichita Falls 3 times a year, and I don't want to drive to Wichita Falls 3 times a year. I did it enough when I lived there. I don't want to do it again. Now, the wrong works off falls. I just want to live here. So I'll say no to that one. Or I don't want to serve on the Board of Ordained Ministry. I've got to read 30, 40, or 50 papers. And theological papers are dull and boring, especially if written by students. Are you kidding me? I don't want to do that. No, thank you. The calling of God to take our talents, our resources, our gifts and our graces and put them to work, the calling of God that each of us has, can't accept the answer no. We must say yes. What are we going to do? Today I invite you, as you come to the table of the Lord, to open your heart, to open your soul to the gifts that God has given you, to the talents that God has placed at your disposal, to the gifts and graces that you are called to use for the life of this church, for the life of the kingdom of God, for your own spiritual life. I call you to open yourself to what God is saying to you and to commit yourself again, anew, afresh in this coming church year, beginning in Advent. Commit yourself to not burying your talent, but to employ them, to work with them, to grow them for the kingdom of God. In your presence, Lord, let me I'm
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.